So let's go to the next case, Gonzalez versus Cortina. Ms. Taylor, whenever you're ready.
Thank you so much, Justice. May it please the court, honorable justices, I am very honored and scared to be standing here today. What am I doing here today? That obviously is the elephant in the room. We all know that I am a family law attorney, and we rarely darken the doorway of the Court of Appeals. I travel in a world of a lot of gray, no black and white, no win, lose, just kind of gray. And everything is abuse of discretion. So why am I here today? The reason I'm here today, Justices, is because sometimes, even in the world of family law, right is right and wrong is wrong. And sometimes there is an issue that is just so strong and, in my opinion, clear and convincing that it demands justice. And that is the situation I feel is in this case. This case that I'm bringing to you today is to seek the reversal of the trial court's ruling denying my client, Mr. Gonzalez's, bill of review. Now, the underlying facts of this case are very simple. I was listening to the other lawyers before me, and they even had some big words I didn't understand. I'm just a simple family law lawyer, but this case is very simple, and the facts are actually pretty much undisputed.
Correct.
The appellee, Ms. Cortina.
Well, they're somewhat disputed because under a bill of review, Ms. Taylor, one of the issues is that has to be decided is whether Mrs. Cortina knew she was still married at the time she was trying to get divorced from Mr. Gonzalez or not. And one of the issues that we have is the findings of fact and conclusions of law that we have to defer to by Judge Sanchez in this case, and he makes a finding that she was not fraudulent in not getting the divorce or not knowing that she had not gotten a divorce. And doesn't that defeat then the bill of review that you're requesting, because we have to defer to that finding of fact by Judge Sanchez?
Excellent question, Justice Benavides. And the answer to the question is no, it does not defeat the bill of review. And that is because what the element is, and I'll go ahead and say it, it's actually element two. I'll be happy to start with element two. Element two is, was Mr. Gonzalez prevented from making his meritorious defense by the fraud, accident, or wrongful act of the opposing party? So even if Ms. Cortina's position is that she didn't know and she didn't do this intentionally, that still does not get her out of the bill of review being granted, because it can be by accident. Now, when you have
that leaves us with what meritorious defense does Mr. Gonzalez has of attacking this judgment? Because I think the issue is his house, right?
Yes, sir.
We're all talking about the house.
There's more than the house, but I'm happy to answer that.
So the house is, the meritorious defense is somehow that she would have not gotten some property that she ended up getting because he wasn't able to make what meritorious defense? And if specifically, if we're talking about the house, he had gifted her the house, so he would have entered into a separate property anyway. So what meritorious defense directly relates back to the act that she may or may not have known whether she was married when she was getting her second divorce?
Okay, so the first element is meritorious defense. It is an absolute certainty that being married to somebody else is a meritorious defense to getting a divorce from a different person. I mean, it's just like truth is the absolute defense to slander. If somebody is married to somebody else and they're trying to get a divorce, a judgment, a decree of divorce rendered against you, then no, do not pass go, do not collect $200, you can't, okay?
Even if you're a putative wife?
Oh, exactly, Judge. That is an excellent point. The putative wife argument, Mr. Masso seems to forget that when you have a putative marriage situation, what is the remedy? The court doesn't grant a divorce. You don't get a divorce. You get a finding of a putative marriage and a putative spouse, and what the court does is then it makes orders regarding this property I'm going to say belongs to you, and this property I'm going to say belongs to you. The court does not grant a divorce. Why? Because there was no marriage. So even in the putative spouse situation, which isn't even in this, there is no finding a putative spouse, and you can't have an implied finding.
How can you not get a divorce if you're a putative wife because you are married? I mean, there seems to be no dispute that they somehow became common law married, even though she was married to, technically still married to someone else. Well, so they still have to get divorced from that common law marriage.
No, ma'am. With due respect, if you are married to somebody else, then you cannot be common law married to that person until that marriage is dissolved legally.
Okay.
So there is no common law marriage. And again, in the putative spouse situation where you do have, usually the case law is that there is somebody and for some technical reason they weren't technically divorced. Like maybe they actually went to court, but the judge actually never signed the decree or something.
Right.
Some kind of technical reason that they actually weren't divorced. Then the trial court doesn't grant a divorce between the two new people. The trial court finds, well, y'all entered into this trying to get legally married. You failed to get legally married, but at least one of you entered it into good faith. And based on that one, on the innocent spouse that entered it into good faith, I'm going to find an equity that this property belongs to you or give you this or that based on it. But the court does not grant a divorce because they aren't married. So in this situation, Mr. Gonzalez's defense to the divorce is absolutely meritorious. He can't be divorced from somebody that he was never, ever legally married to. Now, why is this important? Mr. Masso and the trial court basically made an issue out of this real estate. But I want to draw the court's attention to the fact that there is no evidence regarding the situation of this real estate in the record. Ms. Cortina wants to claim that Mr. Gonzalez gifted her this and did that. But first of all, the deed that she's referring to is not in the court's record. Mr. Masso attempts to attach it to his brief with the court. That's not proper. He never made any effort whatsoever to supplement the court's record. And the bottom line is this, justices. If you look at the decree of divorce, which is in the court's record, there is zero finding of any separate property. There is zero confirmation or awarding of separate property. The entire divorce decree says, here's the division of the community estate. And the real property that they want to make an issue is listed right there. That real estate is listed under community property and is divided as community property in the decree of divorce. Well, there is no community property if you're not married. So what is his defense? His defense is, I'm not married, number one, so I can't be divorced. And number two, this decree of divorce takes property away from me and awards it to her that under the decree itself that I'm seeking to set aside says is community. And it's not just real estate. There's other things. There's cash, there's vehicles, there's life insurance. Everything in the decree says it's community property when it's not. Now, if this honorable court reverses and renders, and we then go back, Mr. Gonzalez gets to have his day in court where he gets to bring up all of these issues, and the court or a jury can decide, was there really a gift or was there fraud? Was there the intent to defraud? What really are the respective rights of the parties regarding the things that were accumulated during the time that Miss Cortina was still married to Mr. Guerrero? And I just want to point out to the court that we're talking about a woman that was married to Mr. Guerrero in March of 2009. They separated in 2013. They had a child together. Miss Cortina knows that there is no court order out there regarding her child. There's no child support order. This is not an accident or a mistake on her part. She knew she wasn't divorced. She knew there's no orders regarding her child, and yet she comes to the trial court. And I don't want y'all to forget that after Mr. Gonzalez filed his bill of review, she filed an answer. And in her answer, she attached a fraudulent document that she purportedly got from Mexico. And after she did that, we
Your
did
time
the research.
Is up, Ms. Taylor.
Thank you.
Justice Longoria, you look like you were going to ask a question.
No, it's okay. I'm good.
Thanks. Everybody
I'll
good?
Catch
right.
you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Justices.
Mr. Massa?
May it please the court. Let me start off right there where Ms. Taylor left off. The document that was filed with her answer was the document that she received from the fake Mexican lawyer. So she thought she was divorced, and we filed that with the answer because we believed at that time that she was divorced. Now, I asked her to go and hire an attorney in Mexico, which happened to be my cousin, to look into whether she was legally divorced in Mexico or not. After she discovered that she was not, she filed a complaint with the Mexican authorities on that alleged Mexican lawyer, and she proceeded to obtain a divorce. My cousin filed for the divorce, which she testified to.
Assuming and everything you say is true and correct, how does that not meet the second prong of the bill of review?
Well, number one is that she did not commit fraud because it was not intentional.
Sure.
The divorce was allegedly before she even met Mr. Gonzalez. So how could she have the intent to defraud Mr. Gonzalez if she didn't even know him at the time? So,
but was it not an accident, though?
It was not an accident because it was a fraud against her. I mean, if it was an accident, I mean, that's different than somebody commits a fraud against you.
I agree, but go ahead. Go ahead, Justin.
How could it be a fraud against her? I mean, are we talking about the fraudulent document after the fact?
Yes, after she...
Okay, let's go before that, though. She was married. What'd she do?
Okay, she was married to Guerrero, and she wanted to get a divorce from him. She hired a Mexican, what she thought was a Mexican lawyer. She paid the Mexican lawyer. She received a document, which to me it appears to be an official Mexican document from the courts, an acta de divorcio. And so she thought she was divorced. She's never sought child support for her daughter or for her other daughter. I mean, they claim that she's a gold digger. I mean, if she was a gold digger, she'd be out there claiming child support for her children. She didn't even get that. She's got her own house. The issues regarding the property division, all she
but
got...
But the problem with trying to fix, the issue with a bill of review is trying to fix something that was not known, and by accident, I always tended to me that it wasn't anybody's fault. You know, the clerk doesn't get you a copy of the, like in the Navarro case where you don't get a copy of the divorce decree. I mean, I'm not sure that the clerk was trying to defraud anybody by not getting a copy of that. So why doesn't that attack the bill of review to go back and say, hey, we were getting married and she was still married to someone else, so you can't divorce me? I mean, Ms. Taylor's argument is we're having a divorce when a divorce is unable to have. You have a divorce decree when there should be no divorce decree.
Yeah, and I disagree with that. And because if you look at the case of Narvaez, 127 Southwest 3rd, 313, in this particular case, this gentleman was actually married to somebody else. And in the bill of review, the lady said, yeah, I acknowledge that he was married to somebody else, and that one of the kids that he was ordered to pay child support was not his. The court still denied the bill of review. It went up to the Court of Appeals, and they denied it. I mean, this was where a marriage should be completely void. And so...
Is that the case where the denial is based on the fact that other... That the...
They denied it on...
Seeking the bill of review should have done other acts?
It was a lack of notice that
right.
he claimed. And so...
So it wasn't really that fact that was at issue. It was...
Yeah, but I mean, just the fact that Yes, Your Honor.
It doesn't really talk about meritorious defense, and I don't think that the modus ever gets into the meritorious defense. It fails on a due diligence prong of the bill of review.
Yes, and I think...
Is there any case law that either one of you can provide? Does it show that the mere fact that there might have been a marriage previously is a defense, a meritorious defense on its face? That's the question I have for when Ms. Taylor gets back up.
No, Judge, I have the opposite. I've got the case of Dean versus Goldwire.
What does Dean say?
Where it says that a putative marriage is one that is invalid by reason of an existing impediment on part of one or both of the spouses, but which was entered into in good faith by the parties or one of them. The required good faith may be based upon a bona fide belief in a Mexican divorce. In this particular case, the wife thought she had obtained a divorce in Mexico, and they gave her a document which she didn't understand because she didn't speak Spanish or read Spanish. But based on that document, she married Goldwire, and basically the court accepted that and believed that if the court believed that she acted in good faith when she obtained that valid Mexican divorce and that the marriage was putative. So the only issue was whether it was a meretricious or a putative spouse. And in addition, there's another case. I think that one's the main case that is almost right on point. There is a case which is Davis versus Davis, and that in that case also there was a situation where Ms. Davis thought that Texas did not recognize her marriage to a Mohammed because they never filed any papers in the state. Instead, the marriage, she thought it was just merely ceremonial, so she did not believe that she was required a legal divorce. And there was because no papers were filed with the state. Mr. Davis did not present any evidence that Carol married him with knowledge that she had an existing legally recognized marriage to another person. So that court found that because he was acting in good faith, that she believed that she was not married, found that the trial court impliedly found that she was a putative spouse. This is the same situation in this case. The court found that she was credible, that she was defrauded, and that she had no knowledge that she was not divorced at the time. And so this court has to give deference to the court's ruling if it's supported by the evidence. The evidence is supported by her testimony. Let me go over. Pelley didn't have or didn't know at the time. She didn't know the appellant at the time that this acta de divorcio was given to her. So there was no intent to commit a fraud. So if she's got this defense or she's a putative spouse, how could he have a meritorious defense to the divorce? In addition, you know, the divorce, I know that the court divided according to to the attorneys and the parties' agreement. She was given half of the house, of his house.
Would you agree, though, with Mrs. Taylor that the divorce decree doesn't have a specific finding that half the house was her separate property pursuant to a gift?
It does not because it was broken down to a money. He kept the house. It was awarded to him, and she was awarded $80,000, which was half of the equity in the home.
But it doesn't say that the $80,000 has been given to her as her separate property versus community property. She would have been entitled to some equity in the house as a community property of the home.
Right. I don't believe the decree specifies that because this issue...
Is also the deed not in our record?
The deed, I provided it in the record, in my records, that I submitted to the court.
You do realize that doesn't make it part of our record.
I understand. But I think that the court had, there was between the
I don't know whether it matters at the end of the day, yeah. Mr. Muscle, but it's just, yeah. just for
the I just want the court to know that between the divorce and the bill of review hearing, there was a number of hearings that Mr. Gonzalez had filed. They had filed frivolous protective orders against her. They had my client arrested. They had my client's 16-year-old daughter arrested. There was a lot of stuff going on. He was going to the house, taking doors down. He was arrested for installing hidden cameras that he could view.
Is any of that evidence before us?
No, Judge, but this was evidence that the court, the Judge David Sanchez, had heard before. And so he's the one that judges the credibility of the witnesses.
And I agree with you, and very may be why Judge Sanchez makes the findings of facts and conclusions of law and why he believes your client over Mrs. The question becomes that even if we believe your client, is this an accident under the second prong? And do we have a measure to, I mean, it all goes back to the whether there's, as a matter of law, or the three prongs met of the bill of review.
Right, and I believe that they did not meet at least the first and the second prong, the meritorious defense, or that he was prevented from making that by fraud, accident, or wrongful act of Ms. Cortina. There is a case where it says, and it's talking about prima facie, but it states prima facie defense is made out when it's determined that the complainant's defense is not barred as a matter of law and that he will be entitled to judgment on retrial if no evidence to the contrary is offered. So what the judge, the reason why the court ruled in against Mr. Gonzalez is because there was contrary evidence to Mr. Gonzalez's allegation that he had a meritorious defense, and that is that she was a putative spouse, that she had no knowledge about the fraud that was committed against her prior to becoming married to Mr. Gonzalez. And there was, I mean, there's a whole bunch of other factors that, you know, that show that she didn't have intent to defraud him because he's the one that filed for divorce. You know, the circumstances surrounding the gift of the property, he had an indictment pending against him on a felony charge of assault against her. He was trying to get her back. She would not go back because he had been kicked out of the home on multiple times.
Again, none of that evidence is in front of us today.
Right, Judge. And then again, this is evidence that the court heard before and right. that the court can
Do
use.
Do you have anything further on the bill of review, Mr. Muscle?
Nothing else, Your Honor. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Okay. Ms. Taylor, you have 5 minutes.
Thank you, Justice. I think what Mr. Masso has been explaining to the court actually proves my case. There are so many facts, so much that has happened between these parties that Mr. Gonzalez...
Well, the only thing I think we all can agree is that they needed to be divorced and stay divorced.
They need to be away from each other big time. Big time. The question is what, at the end of the day, should the court have done? And in my world, things happen two ways, either intentionally or by accident. I personally, legally, do not know of a third alternative. Either it's an intentionally something happens or it happens by accident. So in this case, even if you believe Ms. Cortina, who has been married and divorced multiple times, if you believe that she, by accident, did not know that she wasn't divorced legally from Mr. Guerrero, then it wasn't intentional. The only other choice was it was by accident. And that is one of the elements in number two, that it was either intentionally fraudulent or by accident or by wrongful act. What we can all agree on is undisputed is that Mr. Gonzalez had nothing to do with any of it. Mr. Gonzalez didn't act intentionally. Mr. Gonzalez didn't accidentally marry somebody when he was married to somebody else.
Let's talk about due diligence for a second.
Why
he could not have found this out in the first proceeding.
Thank you, Justice.
A simple interrogatory or a simple request for production.
Well, first of all, he had, I can't speak for his trial lawyer. At that point, I wasn't the trial lawyer.
I understand, but we don't have that in front of us.
I absolutely get it, Judge.
That concerns me because that's your burden.
Well, it is our burden to show that he has a prima facie meritorious defense. It is not our burden even to prove preponderance of the evidence meritorious defense. But the reason is, Justice, in order for Mr. Gonzalez to have found out that Ms. Cortina was still married to Mr. Guerrero, he would have had to travel to a foreign country and look in random county or states in that foreign country, in cities, to try to find these records. He had no idea. And he had no way of knowing. A foreign country, I mean, when you marry somebody, and they tell you that they're not married, you know, he had no reason to disbelieve her. And you say, how about a simple interrogatory? Justice, when we filed this suit, her answer was, oh my goodness, this whole time I thought I was divorced. So even if he had sent an interrogatory, her answer would have been, I'm divorced from Mr. Guerrero. I got divorced from Mr. Guerrero in 2013. Because that is the story that she promulgated all the way up until the hearing on the bill of review. It wasn't until the hearing on the bill of review that she admitted, you know what? I wasn't divorced from him. Oh my gosh. That's the first time she ever admitted it.
Ms. Taylor, before you run out of time, yes. I want to get to the question that I asked Mr. Masso, and he gave me the Dean case. Is there a meritorious defense case law on that you didn't know you were married, that one of the parties was married to a subsequent divorce proceeding?
We have not been able to find a case with those specific facts, and here's my opinion on why. When those facts are known to the trial court, what happens is then you have this case law that he talked about, not a vice case,
right,
and the Dean case. And the deal is with those is the trial court knew that there was an impediment to them being legally married. And so what the court did is they found putative marriage. And again, the court didn't order a divorce. Because you can't get divorced when you're not legally married. So those cases all deal with putative spouses, putative marriage, and then the awarding of property based on equity of this putative marriage, but not the awarding of a divorce. And that's where the case law goes, and it talks about that, and there's no specific case law of an actual granting of a divorce when there was no legal marriage. And so that's the distinction here between not a vice and Dean is the court didn't grant a divorce. And in this case, the court did grant a divorce. And when it was pointed out to the court in the bill of review that through no fault of Mr. Gonzalez, he wasn't legally married to her, and all these issues about who owns what property can still be dealt with by the trial court, but in a different forum, and Mr. Gonzalez should not be charged as being a divorcee when he was never legally married to her.
Thank you, Ms. Taylor.
Thank you, Your Honors. Appreciate
it. Always glad to see our Cameron County lawyers here.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you.
Thank you, Justice.